Lori here, and welcome to the Awakening Moments podcast. Grab a cup of tea and let's spend some time together. My co-host Rhonda and I are ordained ministers working together at Life Center Church. We are leaders, wives, moms, and longtime friends. In this podcast, we hope to share some meaningful moments from our lives, everything from lessons we've learned the hard way or how to rise up in the midst of obstacles and insecurities. We will encourage you to take risks and remind you that you are deeply loved and completely worthy. Let's awaken life's most amazing moments together.
Hi, Laura.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Good. I'm awesome.
Well, we have a big treat today.
We do. We have some special guests with us.
We do. Our listeners, you're going to love today. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah. Why don't you say hello?
Hi, everyone. This is Jason, Rhonda's husband.
Hi, everyone. This is Jason and Lori's husband.
So, Rod and I both married Jasons.
We did.
Which is going to make this a little bit confusing, but we thought it'd be fun just to come on today, bring our husbands, and talk a little bit more about our stories, how we met, and yeah, we'll see where it goes.
I know. My kids ask us about our love story all the time, and they love to hear love stories, and we thought, you know what? We'll let people in that don't know our stories today, because I think it's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
We have a really neat story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you know, Rhonda and I go way, way, way back in friendship. We met when we were, seven, 6 years old. Our parents met and introduced, obviously we became friends and our parents are really good friends. So grew up together, but our husbands actually have a similar story. They also grew up together as quite young children. And so the fact that we found each other from completely different cities and ended up now all working together, being in each other's lives, our kids are friends. It's pretty unbelievable, actually.
It's amazing. Yeah. It really is amazing.
Yeah, it's really incredible. So do you guys want to start first?
Sure.
You want to start with your story first?
Yeah,
so Rhonda and Jason,
yeah,
you want to dive in and share the story of how you guys met?
Oh, we'd love that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, Laura gave a little bit of a background and we go way back, you and I, Laura. So I remember when you called me letting me know that you had met Jason, your Jason, and that Jason's best friend, Jay. We're going to say Jason and Jay. Maybe we should just do that.
Okay.
That'd be easier?
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
That works. Okay. So Jason's best friend, Jay Quarto, would be a perfect match for me. I remember you calling me when I was in university.
I did.
And, yeah. And I was like, I am not interested. Like, I am not looking for that. And
Jay Quarto was not interested at the time either. We had shipped him with our best friend, Rhonda, who he had not yet met, but we were super excited about it.
Yeah. And you were setting us up, Lori, right?
Definitely.
Back then. I know.
Because
you were matchmaking.
Because I thought you were the girl version of him.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah. I was like, Jason, I have the girl version of you. You would be perfect together.
Do you remember that? Saying that?
That is actually, I remember Rob and Jay. I was coming back from the gym and Rob and Jay said, we met the female version of you. I was like, wow, I got to meet this girl.
Yeah.
So she must be that. Awesome, right?
Exactly.
Those were the thoughts that were thinking in my head, yes.
Because I know me and I love me.
Totally. And so when you got engaged, I was away in university and I came back that summer. And I remember you being so excited that because Jay and I were both in your wedding party.
Yes.
That I was finally going to meet Jason Quarto.
That
and I
was
like,
the
whoa.
The first time.
So I really didn't have big expectations. I just thought, oh, okay, whatever. And I remember us meeting at a tennis court because as a wedding party, you put together as much as you love to have fun. You always love to have fun.
Oh yeah.
You made this tournament of tennis because you and Jason love tennis.
Yeah.
So all your wedding party met at this tennis court. And this was the first time I was going to meet Jay Quarto. I remember driving in with Melissa McKee and pulling up and there's this guy with no shirt on and his tennis racket. And at the time Jay was super buff. I always joke. He was trying to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He had a poster in his room.
But I
wasn't. What did you mean by at the time, though? Is that a reference to now?
For those who can't see because you're listening, the six-pack is just hidden a little more.
Still there.
Yeah. Still there. It's just a little hidden. But
yeah, you still look great.
Spent a little more time in the gym back then before we started our family.
Yeah. Yeah, you were really big. You had the wings. You had like the big muscles and the big side.
Oh, yeah.
You were huge. And it was, I remember pulling up and seeing him be like, oh my goodness, he is so handsome. And anyways, I know this is not by coincidence, but we ended up being partners on the tennis court.
You think we said that?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, so there was no we in setting that up.
I know. It was all, it's true.
And for the record though, we ended up winning the tournament.
We did.
So we became the king and queen of tennis courts. So, you know, the match was started and I think we sealed what we were supposed to be that day.
Yeah. Wow. I don't even remember that. The only thing I remember is Rhonda having a hot flash in the car because of how good looking she thought you were. She's like, I don't think I can play. Oh my gosh, she's so good looking. I don't think I can play.
I wasn't expecting that. I don't even think I had seen a picture. Nothing. No, it's so funny.
I'm kind of glad we're doing this. I'm hearing some part of the story that maybe I didn't know all of. This is good. Keep going,
so
ladies.
So funny.
Keep going.
So anyways, we had a girlfriend at the time, so he didn't notice me. Yeah, we can have a pause there. That's very sad.
I wouldn't say that. I certainly did notice you.
You did notice me.
But because of my integrity, I felt I wasn't allowed to look elsewhere.
It's a good thing. It is good.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I know God had great things for us.
That's right. But you didn't really notice me, but I noticed you. So that's okay. It's okay. That's good that you had integrity. You were loyal. So anyway, that whole wedding party, I watched you. I thought you were so amazing. You just remember me having a lot of big hair. Let's just be truthful. That's all he remembers. I remember saying, what do you remember? He's like, we won a tennis tournament and you had a lot of hair. Okay, it was the 90s. Okay, I had big hair. And so that was all that happened that weekend, really. Nothing else happened. Jason and Laura got married.
It was a full week we had together. Because us Ottawa crew had gone down to St. Catharines. And we were playing swimming. We were ping pong. We were eating popcorn. We're playing tennis and we had a whole bunch of different activities. I think we went to, what's that ice cream spot?
Avondale.
Went to all those different activities. And I think my comfort level with you was great. Almost thinking, is this, how natural is this? Is it just because we're in the wedding party together or was it something really natural? So again, I'm trying to say, okay, is this legit? Is it not? But I certainly noticed your hair.
Yeah, okay.
You have beautiful hair.
Oh, that's nice to know. So anyway, that was all that happened when you guys got married. That was pretty much it. And then I went back to school in the States. Jay came back to Ottawa. We continued our lives. And then a couple of years later, we were experiencing revival in Ottawa. We had talked about that. We've talked about that in a podcast before, 40 Days Ablaze. And you were changed by God. And you said, listen, why don't you come and visit? And I know in the back of your mind, you knew Jay was single too. And I was single still and came up and I just remember pulling into the parking lot. And I had this sense when I was coming that it was going to be changing for me. Like I just knew my life would be changed. I didn't realize I would meet my life partner. I didn't realize that I would, you know, what God was going to do in my life. But I had this anticipation coming to Ottawa that something was going to happen. And so when I drove into that parking lot of Life Center, Jay was doing the parking. And as soon as I saw him, he was helping all the cars to go, and it was cold. It was January. I remember he had those weird mitts. You know when he used to fold down? His fingers were standing out, big Eddie Bauer jacket. It's funny what you remember. And I saw him, and I was like, I'm marrying him. I just knew as soon as I saw him.
Oh, my goodness.
I had this sense, like, I'm going to marry this guy. This is one of the reasons why I'm here. And then I just walked in the church and completely ignored him, pretended like I didn't see him.
You didn't even say hi to him in the parking lot?
No, I walked right past him.
Did you see her?
But I had gone inside because I'd been working outside. I'd come inside to warm up and Rhonda was actually walking through the foyer. And like she was saying, she was just going to walk into the sanctuary. And I said, oh, hey, Rhonda. And I went over and I gave her a hug. And you had cut your hair by then. And that's when I really like, oh, I like that because she has beautiful brown eyes. That's one of my favorite features about her is her beautiful brown eyes. And I saw how lit up her face was. It's like, oh, okay, looks nice. And then in you came.
Yeah. And that kind of began our quick dating. Like we dated for 5 months.
Oh, wow. You skipped a whole part of the story there. Are you serious?
I know. No.
You
that's true.
You literally skipped the best part of the story.
Okay.
This whole time from the wedding up until this point, we were here in Ottawa telling Jay play by plays of everything that was happening in Rhonda's life. Yeah, Rhonda's on tour right now. Oh, Rhonda got this amazing new haircut. You have to see her. Oh, Rhonda lost 10 pounds. You should see her. She looks amazing. We were like bragging on Rhonda over and over and over and over about any like play by play. I mean, this is before the digital era. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have like, there's nothing. So we're giving Jay a play by play on everything that's happening in Rhonda's life from afar, just making sure that she stays on the radar.
Top of mind. Yep.
And all right, so this weekend, you're here. You're here. It's revival services.
Yeah.
You hug in the foyer. Hey, you see him for the first time.
Yeah, so, yeah, I did skip a whole bunch, but. So at that point, Jay asked me, I think, a couple days later, we were going to these services. He said,
you ended up staying. I think I you stayed for a weekend, and then you're like, oh, I can't leave.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, you my goodness, supposed Lori. To go yes. home, yes.
And then you're like, no, I have to stay. That's I don't right. know why, and I don't know how long, but I need to stay.
That's right. I think I stayed for 2 weeks, actually. 2 weeks. And during that time, we were in all the revival services. I ended up being on the worship team, and we just were at church every night. So I was with Jay every night. Really, we're all together. This was your best friend, so I was your best, well, closest friend. So we were all together, and our relationship just started to take off. I remember when you asked me my first date, so maybe you could take over here because I keep talking.
Well, what I remember, Billy Massey was the music pastor at the time and knew that you had music background, obviously. So he actually had you singing on stage for a number of the songs. And we used to joke. So when I went to Bible college, we used to joke, if you meet the one, how do you know it's the one? And we joked, a big finger would come from the sky, lights, big neon lights would go off. And we joked that that's the way it would be. So we had a number of interactions like Rhonda had just described. And this one particular service, it was a Sunday night, and Rhonda had gone up and sung, and you had changed the song. You had slowed it down. But that, you were up singing, and I remember almost like the finger came down. It was almost like a screen projection was lifting up. And I sat there, and I said, this is the woman I'm going to marry. And that was within probably from the time you came, because you had stayed for 2 weeks, within 8 to 10 days. And I remember, this is the one I'm going to marry. And I remember it hitting me to that point, like, wow, this is what I was preparing my life for, to find a partner. And then you came and you sat down off the stage. And I remember leaning over to you and saying, that was amazing. And when I sat, I kind of was almost lost in stars. And I was just sitting there. And I remember you made a comment to me later. It's like, why are you sitting so far away from me? How come you're not sitting a little bit closer? I was just so caught off guard that I realized that you were going to become my wife. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we hadn't shared our feelings to each other, but I just remember that very profound, very profound. And then we went out, and then we went for a couple more dates, and then we made it official.
Yeah, but we did skip. We're all over the map here today because we're trying to, it's been a long time since we've talked about our love story, so sometimes you're kind of going back and forth. So before I sang and you knew that I was going to be your wife, there was a moment where I was going back to St. Catharines and you pretty much almost missed your opportunity.
I remember that had asked Rhonda out on a date. So Rhonda's staying with us. So Jay and I are walking really closely along her side of this story. And I remember you'd asked her to go on a date. I don't remember what you did. I think you brought her for dinner and she came home and she's like, I don't know how to read this guy. Like, he's not giving me anything. Like, he's not giving me any signal that, and you were approaching it initially quite cautiously. Like, you weren't being, you know, out there with your feelings about, and you literally were like, no, I just want to get to know her. I'm just trying to get to know her. I just want to see, you know, at least that's from my memory. That's how you were kind of approaching it.
So to kind of back up, you're right. So that was a Sunday night. And we had done a number of activities, but we had gone out for that one official date before the Sunday. I think it was a Thursday. And then on Sunday, you sang that song and it came off, but I hadn't expressed anything. The following day was Mondays. That was the night where we had our prayer meeting. I was playing hockey and our hockey ran from 10 to 12, 10 night to midnight. And I had to leave early from the prayer meeting. And it was there where I remember getting home from playing hockey and saying to my mom and my brother at the time, I feel like this beautiful woman just walked into my life and she's leaving tomorrow. You were leaving on Monday to go back with the opportunity to travel with
an evangelist.
Yeah. Whatever the scenario was at that time. And I remember thinking, why would God allow somebody like this to come into my life and then suddenly be gone? So I'm sitting there and my mom says, well, you need to call her, let her know. And then she looked at my brother and said, Dan, why don't you tell Jay what you think? And my brother was reading the newspaper at the time. And I said, Dan, you got something to say? And he's kind of pulled the newspaper down. And he said, Jay, it's the best thing that's ever happened to you. If you don't do something, you're an idiot. And I said, okay.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Brother Dan.
Shout out to Dan.
I said, okay, leave. And I called.
Yeah.
But I'll let you jump into the story here.
Oh, that wasn't happening on our end. Because I was leaving the next day. Oh. And I was so ticked because you left the prayer meeting. I don't even think you said goodbye. You were gone. We had gone on a date to a hockey game or something like that.
That was one of two dates.
One of two, that's right. And yeah, Italian was our second for dinner. And then you just left. And so the next day I'm leaving and I'm thinking, I'm not coming back to Ottawa. And this guy hasn't said anything. I am done.
Oh, yeah. So, and we were so mad.
Oh, like, I was mad.
Right with Rhonda in that moment. And we're like, we hate Jay. We hate Jay.
We are trash talking Jay. Too bad for you. Like,
totally. We are like, yeah, you don't deserve her. We're having like all this talk. And my Jason is there the whole time. But what were you saying?
But, Jay had my back.
I did.
He really had my back.
What were you doing? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah. I was simply just trying to say, have faith. I have faith in my buddy. Just, you know, I was steeped in feminism. So I knew where to get in, where not to. I wasn't going to interrupt you. But I knew I could stand up for my friend. And I said, don't worry, he'll call. And sure enough. He did.
The telephone rang.
Yeah. She's literally leaving in the morning. And it's what? Like, it was like 10:30 at night.
It was after midnight.
It was after midnight you called?
Yeah, it was 12:50. I remember it was around 12:15 to be exact.
Oh, my goodness.
12:50, I remember calling. And saying, and Jay answered the phone.
I remember his face.
Oh, I know, Jason.
He's like, that's Buddy. I know that's Buddy.
Well, in a man's life, you're right, you know, maybe three times in your whole life. And so it was one of those moments where I was like, wow.
You knew it. And we're all like, me and I looking at each other with our faces just like wide open, like, no.
Yeah.
No.
We had just buried Jay Corto. Oh. Like, we were like, well, we were so mad.
The last nail in the coffin was going in. And Jay answered the phone. And I said, hey, buddy, is Rhonda there? He goes, yeah, she is. And next thing you know, and a little quiver in your voice. Hello. And then I just said, I got the small talk out right away. And I said, listen, I think you're beautiful, both outwardly and inwardly. I would love to get to know you more. I know you're leaving tomorrow. I just wanted to share how I felt about you before you left. I felt if I didn't let you know that the best thing in my life was about to walk away. Would you be open to us potentially continuing to pursue this if you're coming back to Ottawa? And I really hope you are. To which, if my memory serves, you had said, well, I don't date that often. But yes, I'd be willing to do that. And I'm coming back to Ottawa in 2 weeks. I think you and Lori had planned that you were going to come back in 2 weeks. And I was like, great. When are you coming back? I'll make sure that we start. And then that was, and I think you came back in February.
Yeah.
And that was when it became official.
Yeah. And that's where it took off. And we were engaged in August and married the following July.
Yes. That's 17 months all in.
And I lived with Jason and Lori. They were just amazing.
And your room smelled like Cardish.
I was in a health fix and my room smelled disgusting.
But you were all healthy. Those,
well,
lots of vitamins.
Lots of vitamins.
15 bottles of vitamins.
Cardish is open. Right with the lids.
You never closed the lids.
Oh, it's just so embarrassing. You were just so gracious. Oh my gosh. Anyways, terrible roommate. So anyway, that's our story. I mean, amazing.
And how long has it been?
It has been 21 years we've been married.
Wow. 4th of July, 21 years.
Mm. Yeah, fireworks every year. Yeah,
guaranteed fireworks every year.
Two kids.
Ah. Yeah. Two kids, two fur babies for all those dog lovers listening or animal lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, yeah. And so.
And it's been incredible to be able to do life with you guys and to watch your love grow and to watch your relationship and your family grow. And it's amazing. It's actually an amazing thing. It really is. It's an incredible thing.
So for Jay and Lore, you guys met. And so just a bit of a sidebar here, where Jay and Lore met, they'll tell their story, but they met at the Bible college that my brother and I ended up attending. My brother and I had gone down to check it out, actually, with Jay and a friend of ours, Mike. We had gone down to check it out, and Lori's family was there. So I don't want to take too much away from their story. So Jay and I, being as close as we were there for literally probably the biggest events of our lives.
Yeah, that's true.
And this was the biggest event of their life. You guys were, I think, 17, we had just turned 18 in May and June.
That's yeah. right.
And it's magic. I'll bring that in later.
Yeah. You were there at the beginning. Yeah. So, Jay, do you wanna share a little bit about our story?
No, not really. No. I remember seeing you across the field very first time. I remember it was the 90s.
Yes.
Yeah, it was the 90s.
No. Yes, 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 1991.
Like 89.
No, 91.
Okay. We started going to college. It was 91. In 91, so it would have been that summer.
Yeah. So I remember it was, you had like a blue sundress on with little pink flowers. And I remember, but I do remember, like, because it was the 80s, 90s, your hair, you had this like wicked nice poof in the front.
Yeah, the poof with the beret.
Yeah. So I just remember seeing you walk across, and there were services that night for youth. I'm not proud of this, but my friend Mike and I only had one Bible, and we didn't bring the Bible to read it. We thought, so we kind of wagered who got to bring the Bible, because we felt that it would help us in the female department.
Ladies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Terrible. I know.
So bad.
Terrible. If my kids did that, I'd ground them, but I wouldn't ground them. I can't discipline them for anything. Anyways, so yeah. So I brought the Bible that service, and I just remember the whole service kind of just peeking over, looking at you, and, I don't ever remember you looking back or you seeing or anything, but that was
well, I was there with a good friend too.
Yeah.
And I remember my friend and I did notice you and your friend Mike across the room. We noticed, and my friend saw you, and she dibsed you. She actually dibsed you. Like she said, hey, like that one with the glasses, you had glasses at the time, like I'm going to go for him.
Oh.
And I didn't have any choice, so I had to go for the best friend.
Okay.
No, no. Like, you can't, if your friend dibs someone, you can't, like, say,
oh, that's,
no,
that's
I want to.
That's the code?
Is yeah.
That, that's a thing?
That's yeah, a that's thing. A thing. Okay. So anyways, after the service, I remember you guys had kind of got our attention, started talking to us, and you were talking to me all the time.
Yes.
And I thought you were just trying to, I thought you were just trying to keep me away because your friend actually liked my friend. Yeah. And I was like, wow.
Truthfully, I didn't even see you had a friend.
So sweet. So sweet. Yeah. So sweet. Well, it didn't take long. It didn't take long before we realized that we had made a mistake.
Yes.
And we reversed things.
You and your friend.
Me and my
I
friend.
I didn't make it. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no. We reversed things quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the beginning of the story.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so I remember we hung out. Right. I remember I faked that I had a sprained ankle.
There's a lot of deception at the beginning of this relationship.
I know.
Fake the Bible, fake the sprained
ankle. Well, I faked
no,
that.
I know. I remember.
I faked that I had a sprained ankle so that you'd hang back.
Yes.
And then everyone left.
Yes.
And then I was there talking. We could talk. Yeah. Because Mike and I believe, were leaving like the next day or so.
Right.
Or the next 2 days or whatever it happened to
be.
So I remember we hung out. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he had to come back to Ottawa for like a 4-hour work shift.
Right.
And we were about a four and a half, five hours drive.
Probably about
5 hours.
Yeah.
A little more. And it was insane to me that he couldn't just call in for one shift. Right. But nevertheless, we drove back 5 hours.
Yeah.
And he worked his shift, 4-hour shift. And I remember saying to my parents, like, we're going to drive back. And we're going to see, like,
For one night,
like, and then we'll drive back the next day. And, you know, so I think at that point my parents knew, well, that's different, right? Because that is just different.
Yeah.
And so we drove back, got a speeding ticket on the way back. That's a little side note. And it's in New York State trooper. But then, yeah, I just remember you sitting in a room.
With Jay and
oh,
Dan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Buddy was there. Yeah, yeah. Dan was there. And I remember we walked in and
pigeons flew behind you, shining stars.
Reeking
of
pigeons. Reeking of strong
bones. Yeah. Yeah. Machines. Reeking of music playing.
Probably Jacquard Noir or something. Oh, yes. From the night.
Exclamation. Lori, exclamation.
Oh, yeah.
Is this enough? Too much of that stuff. Yeah. Yes. Anyways, yeah. And that's how I remember at least meeting.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Once we figured things out and started to get to know each other, I just remember us like needing to pretty much spend every waking moment together, just talking and getting to know each other. And we really had a good connection right from the beginning. It was so exciting and so wonderful. And I remember just two or three days into getting to know each other of that week, you know, you had said to me, you know, I really like you. And, and I said to you, I like you too.
Yeah.
And you said, no, you said, what would you say to me if I told you I liked you? And I said, oh, well, I like you too.
Yeah.
And you said, well, what would you say if I told you I loved you? Yeah. And this is like 3 days of knowing me.
Yeah.
That was really fast. Yeah. At that point, I had never said I love you to anyone, not even my parents. It was just not a way
I knew you were German, but I did like now I understand the full implications of it, but I didn't then.
We didn't say I love you. I had never said that before to anybody. And so when you said, what would you say if I said I loved you?
You said two words.
Yeah, I said, that's nice.
Yeah, no, you're very hurtful. It's not how I had it going in my mind.
Dagger to the heart.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. But really, in that moment, I was really shocked. And I remember saying to you, like, how could you possibly... And you said, well, I do. And I said, well, how could you possibly say that to me? You don't even know me.
Right.
And if you know me, you might not love me.
Mm.
And so, like, even right at the very beginning, you know, just leaning into some of those things together, it just started what is and has been a really, really beautiful, beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
So that night when you left and then came back, I remember... Because I didn't know that you were coming back. Again, there were no cell phones. There's no communication. You left. And I thought that was the last time I would ever see you. Because we didn't make any plans to see each other at that point. You came back that last night just for one more night of hanging out together. And basically that was the point where we both said, hey, let's give this a go. I don't know how it's even possible because you live in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I live 6 hours away in St. Catharines. How are we ever... We're 17, 18. How can we ever make this work? But we did.
Yeah.
We did. We made one plan from there to see each other in 3 weeks. Your youth group was going to Canada's Wonderland.
Yeah.
And then that was it. We didn't know what would happen after that. But
yeah. Are you forgetting one detail in that story?
What? What did I forget?
Hmm. That you were already dating someone else at the time, too.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
his name was Phil.
It wasn't serious.
Phil, yes.
Do you remember Phil from
school?
Yes,
I do.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, it wasn't a serious thing. But yes, no, you're right. I told you at some point during that week, I said, I have a boyfriend back home. And you said, are you going to break up with him when you get home? And I said, yeah. And you're like, okay, then. That was the end of that conversation.
Phil, I don't even apologize.
You didn't even bring them up ever again.
No, the kids do sometimes, though. Our kids do because they know the story. Yeah.
What do they say? Like, how would they bring them up?
If I say something or do something, the kids sometimes will be like, you know, well, Mom, what do you think about Phil? And it's equally hurtful.
That is so funny. Yeah,
no, they just
so
like bringing funny. His name up.
Yeah.
Every like random moment, I was like, hey, Mom, how's Phil?
Your next animal has to be Phil.
Yes.
Your next bulldog,
yes.
Phil.
That's right.
Yes, that would be amazing.
But I do find it pretty, pretty amazing, Jay, that you were there literally at that week at the beginning. And it's such a random encounter. Like, why would my family from St. Catharines go to that specific place? Lima, New York is like the smallest place on the planet for this random family camp that they did at the college. You literally camped in the field, like there was nothing.
Jay wasn't in the field.
You were in the dorms, but you know.
We were staying in the dorm. If I understand correctly, your family would go to Elam every summer for the family camp.
Yeah.
So for proximity here, folks, Lori and Rhonda lived in St. Catharines, which is, I think, about a half an hour to 45 minutes down to Elam.
from, oh no, because I think it was, it's a couple hours.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple
it's
hours.
It's a couple hours.
An hour and a half.
Yeah, I guess, because it's south of Rochester. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, so you would go every summer.
Yeah.
Our friend that Jay was referring to was Mike. His mom would go to this camp
the
every
same
year.
Camp. Yeah.
My brother was actually looking to go to Bible college. At the time, I wasn't sure where I was, what I was planning, but Hilda had indicated Elam is a great school to go to.
Right.
So mom and dad said, well, why don't we go down during the summer, family camp,
check it out.
Well, we can put our application
meet
in at that same
teachers,
time.
Meet some of the teachers, all that, right?
Possibly meet, because some of the teachers were doing some of the chapels and various things on the campus, and give us a chance to go down and see it. So Jay, Mike, myself, my brother, we were all down there. And just watching the journey, the four of us, the four guys, Mike, Jay, myself, and my brother, we were listening to a comedy tape with all these various comedians.
Right.
And it's magic.
Right.
Buddy Hackett. Yeah, and that's where it's magic. So there was one night where I was up brushing my teeth and I could hear this. So I was up in a
chatter outside.
I look out and there's Jay and Lori and Mike and Bev, I believe. And I shout, it's magic. So Dan and I could see sparks were happening at that point. And then to kind of loop back to the story, Jay and Mike had driven back to Ottawa. Bev, yourself, and Dan and I, we were actually in the Elam Lounge.
Just hanging out.
I think we were, whatever, we were playing cards, playing ping pong. And then the doors just fly open and in walk Jay and Mike. And we're kind of like, I'm like, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Jay didn't even see me. He was looking right at Laura. So it was great. It was great.
Yeah, it was so great.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many years ago was that?
That is 24.
Well, we've been married for 24 years.
Oh, yeah. So that's like 28 years ago.
Yeah.
And married 24 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Four kids later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is quite something that Jay was there when you guys met. Well, and you set us up.
Yep.
But that we've been there for, that moment in our lives. It is incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I truly don't think we could have scripted this.
No.
Even if we had tried.
Yeah.
You know, growing up as close to Jay and I had, and you ladies growing up together, and for our paths to cross kind of in really unlikely circumstances.
Yeah.
Yes, there was kind of a common thread, but really when you look at it, there was no reason for even you to go.
No.
Mike, I know, because his mom was there.
Totally.
So for us to go down, it was just kind of ironic.
Yeah.
And then to be in each other's lives for all the kids being born, you know, all the houses that we've bought, moved around. Being involved at the school together.
Yeah.
And
life, just the hard,
just,
the good, the hard, all of it, just been in different seasons. Quite incredible.
Yeah. Some really hard seasons and some really fun
and amazing seasons.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the season.
And we're loving the season now too. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're really enjoying this season for sure.
So good. Okay. So flash forward to now, 21 years of being married together, being together 23 years of being together in each other's lives. What does romance look like now versus in the beginning? I mean, in the beginning, you have all the butterflies, you've got all the joy of, and you put a lot of effort in the beginning, there's a lot of effort. What does life look like now, married 21 years.
I wonder if after we give our response, someone's going to send us responses of how to better our marriage life and romance or something.
Because, why?
Because when you're
not
first,
so romantic.
Not really. Because when you're first dating, you think of the movies, candlelight dinners, walks, just all of that. And you're holding hands and now it's like the kids are gone. You don't have to drive anywhere. You just want to sit outside by your pool or outside in your house, order in, and maybe watch a movie, hang out, talk, but not have to go anywhere, do anything. So in this season of our life, I'm sure that will progress and be different. When our kids were little, we liked to go out because the kids were home and we were home all the time. But now, because our kids are teens, we're driving all the time. Our schedules are crazy that we just want to be home. But I'm sure in the seasons to come, we'll want to go out again, but now it's being home.
Okay.
And I love my home. We love our home and we love to just sit and talk, especially we love to be in the summer in the backyard late at night, just talking and enjoying our friendship and connecting, because you don't get a lot of those moments with teenagers in the house, and they go to bed so late. We never have the house alone.
Yeah.
So we just want to be home.
I think romance, sometimes it depends on what your definition of romance is. One of my favorite things, and you know, if we're looking at how do we can keep this working, I love to listen to Rhonda talk. Like, I love when she tells me her day. I love when she, doesn't always use people's names, but she's sharing about the people that she met with at the church, conversations with the staff and everything that's going on. I love hearing her talk and hearing her insight. And I love the wisdom that you have when you share, when you're talking to people, you're counseling them or you're walking them through. I love to hear that because it shows me a side of you that is related to your occupation. But I see it, how it factors in our family and in our marriage and with our kids. And so I love to hear that. So for me, that romance is just hearing what's in your heart, hearing what's going on inside your head. I love the message from yesterday, nefesh. And, you know, it's your all your body, all your soul, all your mind, all of that. And I love to hear you talk. So one of my favorite things is in the mornings when we get ready, we get the kids out the door by about 8 o'clock. And then you're literally getting yourself ready in the morning. And I take the laundry and I fold it and listen to you talk and just tell me what's your day like. And then you'll ask me, what are you doing? What's your day look like for work? And just being able to hear that. And I feel that keeps us connected. Because obviously when we went through that season of cancer, there's a bit of a distance or a void that starts to sneak in there. And I felt that our way of staying closer together is just being able to talk. So romance, yes, is physical. And yes, it's
the flowers. That is important. There is absolutely physical side. That's
I would say definitely you need to have sex. Mm-hmm. Like as a part of the romance and a part of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Because there is a connectedness when you have sex. But I also view it as making love. So making love is sometimes just having that conversation. Listening, how was your day? What's going on? How do you feel about this topic? How do you feel about these issues of the day? And talking about that. So I know for us, romance, because I learned really quick in our relationship, I had saved up, I think it was 3 weeks of savings. I took Rhonda out to one of the restaurants downtown, pretty fancy restaurant, the Revolving Restaurant. Remember the one downtown? We had gone up there and they had different menu items. And I remember I was like so excited. I'd saved up enough money because the place I knew was going to be close to like $100 for both of us. And that was big money back then. We're looking at the menu. I'm ready to order. And I said, so what are you going to order, Rhonda? And she said, well, I'm just going to get a soup and salad. And I was like, no. You got to order something. She goes, no, I'm not really hungry. I'm like, I saved up for like 3 weeks. So I said, don't worry about it. I've got enough to pay for this. Come to find out, Rhonda doesn't like the fine dining. She doesn't like the high restaurants. So I was like, okay. So that from a budgeting standpoint, that helped.
Excellent, eh?
It really did. But
especially when we were little paupers when we got married. We were so poor.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Rubbing two pennies together. Oh gosh. Yeah.
So eating at Great Canadian Bagel became like.
Yeah, that was go-to. Actually our perfect. Dating spot. Yeah, Great Canadian perfect. Bagel.
So how about for you? How about for romance
what
for
you?
What
does romance look like for you, Jay?
Hmm? What?
No.
Who?
20,
who?
What? 24 years. It's going to be our 25th next year.
Yeah. Woo! Quarter of a century.
No, it's insane.
Amazing. Yeah.
Well, I think it's very similar to even what Jay and Rhonda were just articulating, honestly, in that it does change. Sometimes I think, you know, when I read a lot of books on marriage and different things, I do disagree with some of it, for sure, because it seems to me trying to hold on to an era, or it seems to be very generic in its description, like this is what it looks like to be romantic with, you know, your spouse, but none of those books know my spouse. And so just like you were articulating, I think romance is truly getting to know who someone is and then loving them the way in which they understand love, the way mm-hmm. they can receive love. And, you know, again, I remember buying you gifts and we're buying you different things and thinking, because, hey, that's what books say to do or movies show you to do. And I'd give you those things. And it was like, oh, thanks. That's like, great. Appreciate that. But yet quality time and words of affirmation, you know, five love languages, but thanks, Mr. Chapman, but Dr. Chapman. Yeah, but just learning some of those things, I think for me is really critical. And I think the other piece for me throughout the whole season to where we are today is, again, it ebbs and it flows. Like you need different things in different seasons. So in some seasons, it's, yes, like you'll begin, romance is taking you away for a week on a vacation, you know, but then it could be a couple of years where it's just go on a walk. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be any of those things. And it's not from a book. It's from reading you and learning who you are, and then trying to love who you are and how you are. So for me, that's what it looks like. It's not that the emotions or the feelings aren't there, but it's the feelings do change. The feelings do ebb and flow. They deepen. They solidify. There's a richness to them that is just different than, I think, when we early dated, where it was so much adrenaline, so much endorphins, like everything, you know. It's just, you didn't have to do anything and it was a romantic day.
Totally.
You could be anywhere and it was like, oh, it was the best day ever. But it really wasn't. It was just a day.
Yeah.
But yet it was. But yet 20, you know, this number of years in, it's different.
Yeah.
It's deepened. It's richer. And there are still those moments where you have those feelings, but you don't live by those. So for me, yeah, that's what it looks like. What about for you, Lori?
That's so good.
No, that's really good. No, I would fully agree. Like, it does change. I remember, I don't know, it was a number of years ago, maybe like 5 years ago. I remember saying to you, us having a conversation, you used to be so romantic. How come you're not romantic anymore? And I remember you saying to me, like, when I cut the lawn and care for our home and, you know, all of these things that I do for our family, like that's how I'm being romantic, as I take care of, you know, just things in the home, as I take care of you, as I take care of our family. Like, this is my romance. Like, this is how I'm loving you.
Yeah.
And I remember just in that moment being like, oh my goodness, I just forgot that for a minute in that moment, you know? And I think it is really, really true. Like, those ways that we care for one another, to be able to see them and to be able to value them and to be able to see them as love, they are the new romance. And they're so beautiful if you choose to see them.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if or when in seasons we're looking for the things we're not doing, and if we're constantly just, we keep looking at the things we're not doing for each other, that's when I think it starts to feel like, wow, there's no, you know, this is missing, or there's no romance, or, you know, there's no love, da 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 da. But it really is about having the perspective, or disciplining the perspective, of seeing what the person is doing and recognizing that that is how they are loving me. That's how they're loving our family. And so, you know, for me, it really is, like you're saying, just that, those connection points, really listening to each other, hearing each other, and getting to know each other in every stage and every season of life. And those are the most romantic moments. I look so forward to every day, to our walks through the week. I mean, we work together, you know, we live together, we do spend a lot of time together, but even in all of that busyness, we can still not connect. We have to be intentional to actually connect on the heart space. And those are the romantic moments in our relationship now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. You both articulated that beautifully.
So good.
I love it.
And I'll say this about you guys, and we've shared this with you before, but we look at your marriage as, you know, when we're looking at ours, how can we improve? What can we do to enhance? And we look at you guys. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple other families in the church that we look to, but you guys are a couple that we really do look to and respect.
Yeah.
I think a lot has to do with the history. We kind of know each other's character.
Yeah.
So to see when you do something, which may look like from the outside, why are they doing this? We know you. We know your character. It's like, we get why they're doing this and what you're leading to. So thank you. Thank you for helping us. Like, you guys introduced us, so, which I think is really cool. And then to be so many years later down the road, still so involved in each other's lives and growing together, and just seeing where God is taking us on this journey. And I don't think we closed our eyes and just kind of, okay, wished or hoped for it to happen as it would, but knowing that God was in this.
Yeah.
And I love it. So thank you guys for just allowing your marriage to be open. Obviously in the church setting, but also just on private with us. So thank you for that.
Well, we appreciate that. And we could probably echo the same sentiment back.
Yes.
You know, you guys are definitely model a life and family of the kind of life and family that we want to have too. And we learn a lot and glean a lot from you too, and the character that you live with. So we appreciate that too.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that was great. We hope you enjoyed our stories, and we hope that just helps you to get to know us a little bit better. And you know, as we end each week, we want you to know that there is absolutely more in you than you could possibly realize.
And you were worthy of love.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Awakening Moments podcast today. Like or subscribe to our podcast and share it with your friends. Follow us on Instagram at Lori Eitz Boucher and Rhonda.Corto. May you be awakened to the moments that matter the most.